Welcome to All Sides Weekend. This is the time of year when the hustle and bustle of the holidays is all that anyone is thinking about. But in between the cookie baking, the holiday decorating, and the family visits, remember that there is plenty to keep you busy right here in your own backyard while enjoying some fresh air. I'm Amy Jurevich, and today on All Sides Weekend, we're talking about enjoying the great outdoors in and around Ohio for winter. We have a panel of local travel experts in the studio, and we want to hear from you as well. We want to hear about your winter travel destinations in Ohio. But first, our panel. With us today, Columbus Dispatch travel columnist Steve Stevens. Welcome.
Hi, it's great to be here, Amy.
And also Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Amy.
And Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Jean Bax. Welcome, Jean.
Hi, Amy. Thanks.
And we're going to start out the hour by talking about places to see holiday lights around Ohio. We have about 8 or 9 more nights before Christmas, I think. So there's plenty of time to load the family up in the car and see some great light displays. So if you want to talk about that, listeners, get your call in quickly. Tell us where you travel in Ohio to see holiday lights. 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Later in the hour, we're going to be talking about places to travel later in the winter, post-holiday season. But first, Jean, where can we see some light displays in a state park?
Well, if you have time to do a little traveling this weekend, I would highly recommend Lake Hope. Lake Hope has a unique twist on the typical light display. They actually have a trail that you walk rather than drive through. And it's a very green park, and so they use LED lights. They're on sensors. They've done a lot to make this a green event as well as a fun event. And this weekend, they're going to have lots of fun stuff at the Nature Center. Santa will be there. They'll have hay rides, s'mores. You can see a model train display at the Nature Center. So this is like the last big weekend for this event. However, you're welcome to come anytime through the end of the year between 6 and 10 p.m. and see the lights on your own.
And is Lake Hope maybe a little over an hour from?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half. It's in Vinton County. So, yeah, it's a bit of a drive, but if you have the time, it's definitely worth it.
So how long would it take for one to walk the trail?
There and back, it's less than a mile.
Okay.
So this is an easy walk.
So good for the whole family?
Great for the whole family.
Steve, where is somewhere that you like to see holiday lights?
Oh, I love Clifton Mills. They have a great light display. They have the old mill lit up there along the Little Miami River, along the gorge. It's gorgeous. They have some other holiday activities. You caught it.
Yeah, I like it.
I was just going to try to slip that one by you, but anyhow, it is a beautiful place. They've got a nice little restaurant there, and again, lots of holiday activities for the family, and a great setting. And that's over near Yellow Springs.
Okay, so that's about an hour drive, but,
A
nice evening if you
sure.
wanted to plan dinner. And John, I know you told me before the show you're not really up on the lights displays, but is there anywhere you can think of that you wanted to mention?
I would just second Steve's suggestion of Clifton Mill. I would go a couple hours before dusk just so you can hike the gorge trail that runs through Clifton Gorge State Nature Preserve and even into John Bryan State Park, which is connected on the southwest side. I think that's a great, you kind of get a mix of everything good about, kind of the state-funded nature spaces. You've got history there, and you've got just great. The gorge is cool. There's, really cool hemlocks lining the trail. So that's kind of all wrapped up into one.
When I discovered that gorge, it was amazing to me that we had that in Ohio.
Yeah.
I mean, you think of Ohio as this flat, no topography, but the gorge is just is magnificent there.
Absolutely, and they've done a really nice job with the trail. It can be a little sketchy just if it gets real icy and snowy just because it's rocky and fairly unimproved, but they've done a really good job with, kind of overlooks and little Buena Vistas along the trail. It's a really nice job over there.
Yeah, they like to keep the trail very natural, so you have to, it is steep there, too. And I know, Jean, that there's more than one state park with lights closer to home, Alum Creek.
Sure, Alum Creek. Yeah, if you don't have a lot of time this weekend for a long getaway, anywhere between now and the end of the year, you can drive through lights at Alum Creek State Park Campground. $15 for a car full, $20 for a large van. And they also have hot chocolate and visits with Santa, lots of fun things for families.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. And if there's somewhere that you like to travel around this time of year to look at holiday lights displays, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Or if there's anywhere really that you like to travel in Ohio for the winter, we want to hear from you, 614-292-8513. And Gene, I also had written on my list here at Caesar Creek, you have a holiday traditions workshop. Do you know about that?
Yeah, if you're crafty and you...
Oh, I'm crafty.
And you're crafty. And you would like to make your own Christmas decorations with natural materials. We have an awesome naturalist at that park, and she will show you how you can make some nice stuff to hang up around your home. And that happens to be this weekend, tomorrow, at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And there is a fee charged for that for materials.
And remind us where Caesar Creek is. I'm looking at my map. Oh,
sure.
It's near Little Miami. Okay.
Yeah.
So outside of... Dayton-ish.
Yeah, an hour and a half-ish drive.
Okay, so that's Caesar Creek. And Steve, you recently wrote an article about several historic homes that are doing a lot of decorating for the holidays.
Oh, yes, yes. There are a lot around the state. So down in Lebanon, it's a great little town down in Warren County, just north of Cincinnati.
Glendower Mansion.
Okay. Yes, and they get it all dolled up for the holidays, and I think they also have carriage rides down there. The town is beautiful. There's the old inn there, the oldest inn in the state. They still have dinner there. You can have a meal and lots of nice shops, and so that's a nice holiday getaway, and visiting the house is a nice bonus this time of year.
Yeah, and you wrote about a series of them. We'll have a link to this article at wosu.org/allsides if you want information about all of these historic homes dressed up for the holidays, as you called it. There's one pretty close in Mansfield, too. The Kingwood Center?
Oh, yes, the Kingwood Center. That was the home of an industrialist in Mansfield, and it's now become a public garden and a center, and they again also for the holidays. It's a little more modern. I believe that was built in the 30s, so it's a little more modern than some of these other Victorian mansions that I wrote about, but it's still a great holiday destination. And as I said in the article, it's nice not to have to clean your own house and get it ready for the holidays. It's nice to at least have a day where you can go to somebody else's house and just look at all the beautiful decorations and not have to do all that yourself and cook and the rest of it.
I had no idea there was such so many mansions that just pulled out all the stops for the holiday season.
This is the time of the year, and it does seem that a lot of small towns in the state and actually around the country have gone to the trouble to preserve at least one of the old mansions, one of the old historic homes, which is great. In all of these small towns, you can learn so much about the history of that area in these towns through those historic home museums. And again, it's a great time to visit them because they are so pretty and so festive this time of year.
I won't make you talk about all six of them, but there's one more. There was one in Toledo, it's a part of the Toledo Metro Park system, which I thought was interesting. The Stranley, I think, or the Holidays in the Manor House, I think you called it.
Toledo Metro Park system. They do a lot of interesting things up in Toledo. They've got a great old restored mill and canal boat up there. They do some other things. So it's not just natural areas. Not that there's anything wrong with natural areas, but this mansion is another place that the Metro Parks operates. And again, it's the home of a former industrialist. I believe Champion Spark Plugs was his claim to fame and fortune. And later on, the family gave it over as a public museum. And again, at this time of year, great time to visit and learn a little bit of the history of that area and see how holidays were celebrated maybe 100 years ago.
All right. So these are great places for – there's tours on selected dates, and you can get a tour through the house, or you can go look at it on your own. And So it's a great way to maybe warm up and stay inside a little bit for the winter.
Exactly.
So, and obviously these are only going to be open through the holiday season. So visit WOSU.org/all signs for a link to that article by Steve Stevens, the historic homes dressed up for the holidays. But as promised, this is an Ohio Outdoors travel show. So we'll move outside now. And John, tell me somewhere that you would recommend for people to enjoy maybe the first, we should be getting our first snowfall soon, one would think. So where would you go to see the fresh powder for the first snowfall?
One of the greatest winter hikes I've ever had was at A.W. Marion State Park. They have a 5-mile loop trail that's pretty flat, very easy, I would say, compared to what we have elsewhere in the state. And it was just beautiful. It goes around the little kind of resort lake, and it's very deserted. I will put that disclaimer in there. It's a very, you know, kind of summer boating, recreational lake, and it just kind of clears out in a very interesting kind of quiet and serene landscape in the winter. And I was the only one on the trail that day. You could tell because mine were the only footprints. And it was just beautiful. The snow was hanging to the trees, and you got these pristine lake views pretty much from all sides, and it was just beautiful. There's a little kind of backwater eddies and little streams that run into the lake that were half frozen over with a dusting of snow on top. It was just, it's beautiful, and it's only, I would say, about 45 minutes from Columbus. It's down near Chillicothe, so that is a great day trip. You know, for 5 miles, you know, in those conditions, it would probably take you about 3 or 4 hours tops.
Great. And tell us the name of it one more time so people can find it.
Yeah, that was A.W. Marion State Park. Kind of a small one, but that Hargis Lake Trail, that 5-miler, is a real gem.
And Jean, since it's a state park, would you like
yes.
to add anything?
That was a very poetic description.
Wasn't it?
You enjoyed that very much.
I want to go right now.
He just made it sound so pretty.
Really,
and there's
did.
Not even any snow
and
yet.
There's not even. And if you want more information about how to get there and what's available there, you can check out our website, ohiostateparks.org.
Great. And we have a link to that at our website, WOSU.org/all sides. And today we are talking about traveling and outdoor adventures and activities in and around Ohio for the upcoming winter months. Listeners, where do you like to travel? 614-292-8513. And we have a few emails to get to right after this break. This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News.
In a debate on Saturday, Mitt Romney casually challenged Rick Perry to a $10,000 bet. Realizing that that made him seem wealthy and out of touch, Mitt immediately reached out to the 7 million people who watched the debate and offered them $5,000 each to forget all about it. I'm Peter Sagal. We will not pay you to listen to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the news quiz from NPR.
Saturday mornings at 11 on 89.7 NPR News.
Time's running out for you to make your 2011 contribution to 89.7 NPR News. Our goal is to raise an additional $50,000 by December 31st. Pledge at WOSU.org/2011 or by phone at 866-897-9678. Your gift is tax deductible and supports the programming on 89.7 NPR News. Happy holidays and Happy New Year from WOSU Public Media. Thanks for your support.
This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurevich, and we are talking about Ohio travel and enjoying the outdoors and a little bit of the indoors for activities in and around Ohio during the upcoming winter months. Listeners, where do you like to travel in and around Ohio? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And again, in the studio with us is Jean Bax with the Ohio State Parks. Thanks for being here, Jean.
Thank you.
And Steve Stevens with the Columbus Dispatch.
Thanks, Amy.
And also Columbus Alive venture columnist and reporter John Ross. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Amy.
And we do have an email from Mike. He wanted to talk about a little more of the holiday displays. In downtown Cambridge, there's a fun display of Dickens characters throughout, along with music synced with the lights at the courthouse. Hot chocolate and peanuts are also available. Has anyone been to downtown Cambridge?
I have been briefly to see that, and they're life-size Dickens characters, and they really go all out in Cambridge this time of year. So I've kind of just passed through, but I hear from other folks that it's really a lot of fun and very unusual. Kind of reminds me, I guess, of the old things they used to do in the Lazarus department store windows with the characters and the animated, but here are actually on the street corners with characters. And
in downtown Cambridge, just about maybe an hour and a half away, I think,
right?
Anyone else been to downtown Cambridge? Nope. All right. We have a Facebook post that wants to mention that the ice formations are really beautiful, although the staircase is a tad treacherous at Cantwell Cliffs. Cantwell Cliffs?
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah, it's one of the five major areas of Hocking Hill State Park. And it's a beautiful recess cave. It's one of the most stunning formations probably in all of Ohio. There's just, like he said, the steps are a little treacherous. I think they're called...
So are they natural steps or are they built-in steps?
Yeah, they're natural steps carved into the, you know, there's just gorgeous rock formations all over that place. And they've carved steps down to them. And they can be really slippery even in the spring. So I can imagine that you'd have to watch yourself in the winter. But definitely worth the descent down there because it's just beautiful. It's just, it towers. I don't know the height. Maybe Gene knows. But it's very intimidating almost. And it's just beautiful. And then from the recess cave, there's this, it opens into a real nice tree-lined valley. It's great in all seasons because obviously rock doesn't really change. And you can just, you know, it's great for photography. And I'm sure that it's just amazing with those ice formations.
Yeah, and I've seen many pictures of the ice formations, but I don't know that I've been hiking there, particularly in the winter, for the ice formations. There's a few dedicated dates at Hocking Hills when there's guided tours that are very popular, right?
Sure. I mean, one of the things about Cantwell Cliffs that's cool is that it's less traveled than, you know, kind of the loop between Ash Cave and Old Man's Cave. It's a little bit kind of an outlier. So, you know, it's great to be with those winter hike crowds down there every January. But if you're looking to get into a little bit more of a secluded part of the park, definitely Cantwell Cliffs or even Rock House would be your best bet.
January 21st is the date for the guided Hocking Hills hike, which is a six-mile hike, and you would see Old Man's Cave and Ash Cave. So you would see some of those places, not all of them. So if you don't want to go by yourself, that's when to go. And if you do want to go by yourself, definitely it's beautiful all winter long. You can really see the rock formations, icicles dangling down from them. I would just say please, please, please wear good footwear. And come prepared.
And that Hocking Hills Trail is a great, or the Old Man's Cave Trail is a great place for winter photography. I love taking pictures down there of the ice formations and icicles and frozen waterfalls. So if you're into that, it's a great place for that.
And as long as you're staying on the trail.
Exactly.
Stay on the Mark Trail.
Stay on
Follow
the Mark
the
Trail.
Science. And John, you wrote, or I think you wrote about the Rock House. Can you tell me a little bit more about the Rock House particularly?
Rock House, like Cantwell Cliffs, is one of the five distinct areas in Hocking Hills State Park. And it's actually one of the only, or maybe the only, true cave. You know, kind of like the cave you think about when you think about a cave, where it's all enclosed, where the recess cave is kind of like a big kind of sloping arch, like Ash Cave or Cantwell Cliffs. Rock House is awesome. You can go in there and, you know, you're almost completely in the dark and you can kind of see a light at the end of the tunnel. And, you know, if you've got a flashlight, you can see kind of all the contours of the cave and the layers in the sandstone. And there's trails there as well. There's a couple of other cliffs there as well. There's like a little bridge over a little ravine and a stream. And it's great. The hikes aren't too long. If you're looking to get, you know, kind of some good cardio out of Hocking Hills, you would probably want to go to one of the other areas. But for just pure enjoyment of a real cave, a rock house is really awesome.
And we also have an email from Bob, which will change our conversation a little bit into cross-country skiing. Bob says, winter adventures for me will always mean cross-country skiing and camping in northern Michigan. The temperatures are down to negative 30 degrees, and the light show provided by the stars and aurora borealis in the cold, clear night sky. So that's what he thinks of when he thinks of winter adventures. So northern Michigan, a little further than our Ohio destinations, but there is cross-country cross-country skiing in Ohio, right, John?
Absolutely. You know, obviously many of the metro parks and even the Columbus Recreation Parks trails are open to cross-country skiing. I know I've seen people on the Olentangy Greenway Trail, like that runs basically from Worthington to downtown Columbus, people cross-country skiing in there when the conditions are right. My favorite place in Ohio to cross-country ski is actually called Chapin Forest. It's in the Lake Metro Park system on the east side of Cleveland. And what's cool about that place is that they offer rentals. And you can get it basically for about $3 an hour. You can get, you know,
this is through the MetroPark system?
Yeah,
do the rentals?
Yep.
Okay.
They rental. There's like a nice little lodge with hot chocolate and the rental equipment and a fireplace. And they also have about 5 miles of groom trails, which is nice. They actually go through with kind of a groomer and pat it down for, you know, it's geared towards beginners. And actually some of the trails have lights at night. So that's just really picturesque. That's very close to my house where I grew up. So my family would go there, you know, every winter and take a cross-country ski trip. So definitely good for the whole family and very, very affordable. And it's in the snow belt, so they're going to have a lot more snow than we are. So it's a little bit more reliable than maybe trying to you know, get out on a metro park trail here.
Do they, if you like go to their website, will they tell you if conditions are right for
yes.
skiing so you don't drive all that way? And
yeah, I think there's also a hotline that you can call too, even if the website is not updated daily. So they definitely take care of people in terms of weather conditions.
And this is Chapin Forest?
Yep, Chapin Forest. I don't have the URL with me, but if you Google that in cross-country skiing, you definitely come up with the results.
All right. And listeners, tell us where you enjoy cross-country skiing in Ohio or whatever winter activities you enjoy in Ohio, outdoors or indoors in the winter, in and around the Buckeye State, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides Facebook page, and you can tweet me at Amy Jurevich, WOSU. And Steve, where would you like to mention next for a place to travel in the winter? It can be indoor or outdoor.
How about Maui?
No. Oh. Oh, wait a minute.
Actually, there are, if I can go indoors again, there.
Sure. Some,
this is a great time of year to visit some of the great museums of Ohio. And one of my favorite places, especially now that I have 6-year-old kids, is the Air Force Museum in Dayton. And, you know, you don't have to...
Your kid's favorite and my dad's favorite.
Oh, okay. And it's free, and it is one of the world's great aviation museums. And every day, my 6-year-old Charlie asks me, Dad, when are we going to go back? So, and it really is a wonderful place to learn about history, history of aviation, the history of space travel. They actually have one of the Apollo space capsules there, which being a kind of a space geek, I think is cool. And sometimes, you know, in the summer, you don't want to waste a glorious day indoors at a place like that. So for me, this is kind of the perfect time of year to go to some of Ohio's really good museums. And that's at the top of my list.
If you would want to make a weekend out of that, Buck Creek isn't too far away.
Oh, and yeah.
They've got cottages. They've got a sledding hill. Trails you could hike, so
right, yeah. Nice cabins there. I've stayed there, and it's and not that far either, because that's just in Springfield. So
just outside of Springfield, yeah.
So it's really just you know, an hour away.
Gene, I wanted to ask you, there are winter specials at some state parks. Some are still open for camping too, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Most of the state park campgrounds are still open in the winter, although they have limited facilities, and the rates are reduced, a couple bucks a night.
Limited hot showers, right?
Limited hot showers. And, of course, we also have several locations with cottages, which are available in the winter, and we discount those rates, 10 bucks on the weekend and 10 bucks, or I'm sorry, 20 during the week. And the lodges also offer specials this time of year.
Go ahead. Were you going to say something?
I was just going to say I had a great time down at Shawnee State Park, staying in a cabin with a bunch of friends a couple of years ago, and they were really nice, and you get to use the lodge amenities. So I think there's a game room and definitely a pool and hot tub, and then you know, just great, very rigorous trails too. So it's kind of the both ends of the spectrum there. You get really rough and tumble outdoors, and then very, very comfortable and very fancy indoor amenities as well.
I love the state park lodges. I was just recently at the lodge at Geneva up on Lake Erie.
Oh, it's beautiful.
And that is a beautiful setting right on the lake. You get some dramatic weather coming over the lake this time of year. And on weekends, they have a winery shuttle bus. So you can hop on, do tastings, and yes, there are wineries open up this time of year. The bus will take you there and back. You can go between wineries all day, and you don't have to worry about a designated driver. And it's an awesome way to see some of the countryside, taste some really good Ohio wine, and stay in a great state park lodge.
The whole town has a Winterfest event in early February. I think it's coming up on the 4th this year, where they have snowmobile races and hot chili and ice sculptures. So
it'd be a great time to get
be
up
like
there.
Geneva, Switzerland.
And Steve, you wrote that the lodge manager there at Geneva on the Lake wants to brand themselves as Ohio's wine country resort.
Yes, and I mean, I think that's a great idea because you're up there in the Grand River Valley, which is a wonderful place to grow wine. It's a very small microclimate up there. There are about almost two dozen wineries located up in Ashtabula and Lake counties, and they are making some really great Ohio wine. If your only experience was with Ohio wine was from maybe 20 years ago, the really sweet grapes, that's still out there and a lot of times is the most popular, but they're making some really good European varietals, doing some things with hybrids, and there are some really good wineries and winemakers up in that area.
And Geneva State Park gets pretty crowded in the summer, but this time of year would be
exactly.
Know.
It's a perfect time to visit.
Just you and the other winter buffs.
And there are some really good bargains. I got a package that was really good, which included the wine shuttle and breakfast, and it was quite reasonable. And it's a beautiful resort. Only about the lodge is only about 7 years old, and they have some great facilities. That's the way I like to experience state parks, rather than the tent, especially this time of year.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about winter travel in and around Ohio with Steve Stevens from the Columbus Dispatch, John Ross with Columbus Alive, and Gene Bax from the Ohio State Parks. And Kelly from Columbus is on the line, wants to talk about the state parks cabins.
Yes, I love to attest, I love to tell people about the cabins. A few years ago, friends of mine and I, between Christmas and New Year's, rented a cabin at Lake Hope, and we everybody took turns cooking in the cabin. We're able to have a fire. We're able to go hiking through the snow, and it was just—it's a really great experience, especially if you don't have kids, and you get a bunch of friends to go, split the cost, share some of the work, and have a really good time celebrating the holidays.
Thank you for that recommendation, Kelly.
Sure.
Thanks. 614-292-8513. If you want to make any other recommendations, you can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. Jean, do you want to add anything else about the cabins?
Oh, I appreciate Kelly's plug for the cabins, and I agree. That is, I guess you could also have a family getaway with a couple of other families because, you know, there's a couple of private rooms if you want company and if you want to share the expense. So, yeah, you can have an awful lot of fun. And there are locations all over the state. Lake Hope's a particularly nice one. I checked for I was going to recommend for New Year's Eve, and by golly, they're booked.
Oh, too late.
You have to try a lodge room. Sorry.
Whenever there's a lot of snow and ice, how often are the trails taken care of? Would you say that it depends on the weather? Or
The trails really aren't cleared of snow and ice in the winter. So it really is,
natural.
And travel at your own risk. So again, you know, it's very important to stay on the trails, to not hike alone, and to make sure that you're wearing boots, really, or very good hiking shoes.
We have an email from Paul, and he says, for winter hiking, I recommend one of the short trails at Battelle Darby near the main entrance, one that leads to a bluff overlooking the Big Darby. It has steps down a hill where you can sit and just take in the winter silence. John, you're nodding your head.
Yeah, any excuse you can make to get over to Battelle Darby Creek is a good one. It's one of my very favorite parks. It was actually one of the first metro parks that I got to know when I was moving back to Columbus. And you know, that email, that's spot on because there's a lot of short trails. There's a lot of trails through different habitats. There's some along the river. There's some through open fields. There's some near the new wetland complex that they put in off Alkire Road. It's just beautiful. And, of course, Peg's not here to give you a bison update, but you can still see the bison over there.
Do you know about the bison?
From all I've heard, they're doing well. They keep moving them from, you know, they have two pastures over there, so they kind of, you know, switch them out. You know, this will be kind of their second winter because they went in early February of this year. They sound to be doing good. And obviously, even if you're not a bison fan, I don't know how you couldn't be, but if you're not, there's plenty of other reasons to go to Battelle. And I like that email a lot.
And that overlook that he mentions at Cedar Ridge really is a glorious view out over the Big Derby.
And Paul also has one more recommendation. He says that the trail by the campground at Deer Creek, he likes to go there. It goes through the woods, down to a meadow, to the creek, and then through the woods and the wetlands, and then back up to the campground parking lot. He said it's a nice trail. Deer Creek.
All I know is that Deer Creek has a beautiful, very comfortable lodge, which I stayed in at last week. So it was kind of a little bit of a different trip for me. Usually I'd be sleeping out on the trail, but I got to sleep indoors this time, and it was very nice. But Deer Creek is probably a good trail for a novice hiker. It's very flat. You're not going to get too far away from the trailhead. So it'd be a good one to try out for the winter for sure.
And Deer Creek's one of our state parks that's pretty close by to Columbus.
Yes, it is. It would be a half-hour drive from most places or 45 minutes maybe.
And we have a call from Joanna in Heath. Joanna, what's your question?
I was just calling to inquire if anybody had any recommendations for winter horseback riding. We have recently acquired a horse trailer and are interested in doing some trail riding.
And you have your own horse, right?
Uh-huh.
To bring your own horse. Okay.
Right.
Any recommendations for horseback riding?
Well, some of the metro parks do have bridal trails. Prairie Oaks, which is also on the Big Derby, has a bridal trail. And I actually live right near there and see horses on the trail all the time. So I think they have a place where you can park and ride your horse through some of the open natural prairie areas. And that's the nearby one that I know of.
Alum Creek, Buck Creek, Dillon, all in the central Ohio area have bridle trails where you're welcome to bring your own horse.
Do they monitor those trails and close them due to conditions at any time? Some of our local county parks actually post online that the trails are closed. Do the state parks do that?
The state park staff do not necessarily do that. However, a lot of those trails are cared for by the local Horsemen's Council chapters, and they often come out and do trail work. I don't know that there's a posting available anywhere about that, but if you would check with the local Ohio Horsemen's Council chapter, they may have more information about that.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. This is All Sides Weekend, and I'm Amy Jurovich. And listeners, where do you enjoy the outdoors in Ohio this winter? Where do you go to get away for a long weekend during the winter months? 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And our discussion of Ohio travel will continue in just a moment. This is 89.7 NPR News.
Jennifer Homan's History of Ballet, which was chosen by the New York Times Sunday Book Review as one of the top five nonfiction books of 2010, is now out in paperback. Her History of Ballet covers how gender norms have shifted, how images of the ideal body have changed, and how class structure and revolutions have affected art. We'll hear from Homan's on the next Fresh Air.
Today at noon on 89.7 NPR News.
Hungry for more than just headlines and short sound bites about our community? Watch Columbus on the Record Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU-TV to get your fill of in-depth, thoughtful, and balanced analysis of the issues affecting Columbus and Central Ohio. Join host Mike Thompson and his array of guests as they take on the issues of the day, anything from Columbus City Hall to Ohio as a battleground state for the 2012 elections. Watch Columbus on the Record Friday nights at 8:30 on WOSU-TV.
Support for 89.7 comes from the estate of Donald R. Glancy, whose life was enriched by public radio and television, and whose bequest seeks to encourage others to discover WOSU Public Media.
Receive daily updates from WOSU by liking our station on Facebook or by following WOSU News on Twitter. Another way to connect with us is by subscribing to our daily News Loop e-newsletter. Visit wosu.org/email to sign up.
This is All Sides Weekend on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich, and today we're talking about Ohio travel and enjoying the great outdoors and indoors in the winter in and around the Buckeye State. With me in the studio is Columbus Dispatch travel writer Steve Stevens, Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross, and Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Gene Bax. And we want to hear your recommendations for travel in and around Ohio, 614-292-8 513. Email us at allsides@wosu.org. You can also visit the All Sides Facebook page and post a comment there. And John, I wanted to ask you about tobogganing. You just mentioned that. It sounds like a good winter activity.
Oh man, it's such a blast. A very old school fun. There's actually a dual refrigerated tobogganing chute in Millstream Run, which is in the Cleveland Metro Parks up near, I think it's on the southeastern side of Cleveland proper, basically about 2-hour drive from Columbus, but it's definitely worth it. I mean, these things are just super fast, super fun, very exciting, and it's kind of an old school holiday Christmassy thing. You know, you've got an old style wooden toboggan, padded seats, you've got to carry them upstairs, but then the drop is very, very almost scary the first time you go down there. It's kind of like a winter roller coaster ride.
So what ages is this, do you think, for tobogganing, since it seems like you have to carry it and it's a little more open than like tubing?
Right, you know? Right. I've seen small children on there. I don't know their ages, mm-hmm. but I mean, they're, you know, kind of the little toddlers waddling around in their snow clothes, obviously not by themselves. You know, they're being held by, you know, there's proper supervision at all times, of course, and I would recommend the same. But I think this is a family activity for sure. This isn't like a true adventure sport. This isn't like the winter version of like bungee jumping or something. It's but what's cool about the facility is that it's very affordable. I don't have the exact ticket prices, but they're refrigerated chutes. So I think they can handle rides as long as the temperature stays above 50 or below 50 degrees. So it's
so
not
you don't
like,
need snow.
No, you don't even need snow. You don't even need that frigid of temperatures because of how they've built the system.
Okay, so how do we find out about this? Where do we go again?
If you go to the Cleveland Metro Parks website or just search Millstream Run, it'll come up.
Okay. And well, while we're at it, we can talk about sledding a little bit. When people think of winter, they always think of sledding. And the state parks have some designated sled riding hills, right?
Yes, they do. And
bring your own sled.
Yeah, bring your own sled or cafeteria tray or saucer, whatever works out for you. And there are quite a few parks in central Ohio that have sledding hills. A.W. Marion, which John mentioned before, a nice place to hike. Delaware, Mount Gilead, both a little north of here. Buck Creek by Springfield, where there's cottages. Dillon has a sledding hill and a little ice skating pond nearby, and they also have cottages. That would be a fun weekend stay on a snowy weekend. John Bryan State Park, another beautiful place to hike and also go sledding. Lake Hope, Malabar Farm, Cowan Lake, which is kind of down by Caesar Creek, south of here, and Pike Lake, down by Waverly.
Well, that's quite the list.
And I'm sorry, I am reading a list. That's enough from memory.
That's it. So when we go to these state parks, say we've never been there before and we have the kids and we have the sleds and we get there, can we find the sled riding hill pretty easily, or should we like get a map before we go?
Well, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea to check the park map online at the state park's website.
There's always someone around to ask where to go.
And there would always be someone to ask where to go. That's true. And in some of those parks, it'll be the only hill for miles. Right. So.
That's very true. So, and I guess we just, if there's snow on the ground here, some of those that you mentioned that are near Columbus will have similar conditions.
Yeah, quite likely.
Well, and this answers, Gail from Worthington sent us an email that says, we like sledding at Antrim and High Banks. Any other good local sledding spots? So you mentioned some state parks that are a little bit of a drive. Is there anything else locally that we can think of, maybe like in another metro park besides High Banks.
Battelle Darby has a sledding hill, which is nice, and they also have a an outdoor temporary ice skating rink that they build out there if we ever get the temperatures for it. But that's a fun little hill and close, and I know it because it's close to home.
I know it seems unseasonably warm lately, but I have a feeling winter will still come.
No worries.
We also have an email from Paul. He wanted to respond to our caller from earlier talking about horse riding trails. Deer Creek has several miles of day trails with parking and staging space, as well as camping facilities for the horse trailers. Each lot has areas for tie-ups and a picnic table. Lots do not have utilities, but there is a primitive restroom at the end of the road where the group camping grounds are. So, you agree?
Yes, I do. And thank you for bringing that up, Paul. I'm sorry. I checked a list after during our break because I was pretty sure I missed some. So thank you very much. Again, State Parks website will give you information about where there's trails.
Lots of places to go horse riding. But we've talked about this on the show before, that someone had called one time asking if there was a place you could rent a horse. But it's, most of these are bring your own horse.
Right? Most of them are, yeah.
BYOH.
Yeah, Houston Woods.
Houston Woods, yes.
Does I believe they still have horse rental.
Horse rides, yeah.
Yeah. Another thing a lot of people like to do in the winter, I think you wrote about this at some point, John, is birding. A great time to see birds because there's no leaves in your way. You can see the birds.
Yeah, it's actually a surprisingly good time to start birding. And I spoke with Ken Kaufman, who's kind of a renowned bird expert and field guide writer. And he shared some interesting insights about why winter's so fun to get to know birds. And he said, yes, first, like you mentioned, that there's just no foliage. There's really – they're kind of just in your face. There's nowhere – there's fewer places for them to hide from your sight. But also he said that you know, in the winter, the number of birds in Ohio drops significantly, like because there's not huge warbler migrations or something like that. So there's a finite set of birds that you can get to know very well. And you can see them better. So it's a really good time to kind of start some foundational knowledge so it's not like there's 200 things flying at you and you can't pick out even a single one. The other thing that he mentioned is that oftentimes in winter, birds flock. So you get to see a bunch of the same species. You get to see and get to know them. You get to know their physiology. You get to know their behavior. You get to know their colorations on an easier scale than you would at any other time. So people don't really often think of birding in the winter, but really it's probably the best time of the year to start.
Gene, you have some naturalists who do some guided birding hikes, right, throughout the winter?
Yeah, we do. Houston Woods is having a guided birding hike January 21st. And Houston Woods is a great park for so many reasons, but they have a wonderful nature center and raptor rehabilitation center. So that's a great place to see some of those big birds up close. And they have a lot of birding programs there all year, actually. So it's a particularly good place.
So we're here to say that not all birds fly south for the winter. There's some that still call Ohio home.
Well, even a lot of the birds that come to Ohio are flying south.
Just because they're from way north.
Right, they're from way north. So that's what one of the naturalists at Blendon Woods explained to me, is that this is south and very kind of tropical for the birds that otherwise would be in like upper northern Canada. So they're flying south too, just not as far as some others.
See, Steve, Ohio is tropical. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have just about 10 or 11 more minutes, so if you want to make a recommendation or you have a question about enjoying the great outdoors here in Ohio this winter, 614-292-8513. And Ken in Clintonville, what's your question?
I've been impressed by the amount of snow you get in the northeastern part of Ohio, Ashbula and surrounds. And I understand that there's dog sled races that come to those parks. It's kind of like racing any other way. There's people that do that as a matter of their sport, and they go along the Great Lakes and maybe further into Minnesota and stuff like that. And I hear they come to Mosquito Creek or something like that. Does anybody know about that?
Yeah, that would be Punderson State Park in Geauga County. They host an annual sled dog race, weather conditions permitting. The January date, they are postponing, and then they have a fallback date in February, which I believe is the 25th.
Mm-hmm. February 25th, so the Sled Dog Classic.
Yes. And the Siberian Husky Club of Greater Cleveland, I believe, is a group that puts that on. And when there's enough snow, that is such a fun event to watch. It, it's or just a blast.
There's always enough snow in Northeastern.
Well, they need a lot of snow though to do this.
They have had to
remember that to some of us, snow is just a toy.
Right. Thank you, Ken and Steve.
They have had to cancel that the last couple of years, haven't they?
They have. I'm not sure if they had it last year. There was a long dry spell, and then we had some good hard snow. I think they were able to do it last year. Okay. I think last year we got hit pretty hard. But, you know, the weather is so it'll be 50 and raining, and then it'll be 3 feet of snow up in that area 2 days later. So it's we'll see. Keep your fingers crossed.
And we got a funny email from Bob. He says he likes winter because there's no mosquitoes, fewer people, often no people, and it's better for you than drinking martinis. I don't know why he picked martinis. So Bob is enjoying winter for no mosquitoes and few people or no people.
You know, you are allowed to drink martinis in winter.
Yes, I believe that you are. We're talking about drinking wine. We've talked about martinis now. What next? And we have Randy on the line from Clintonville. Randy, what's your question?
It's not a question, but a comment. I'll begin by saying on my next winter bike ride, I'll have a martini in my water bottle.
Perfect. And so you do some bicycling in winter?
Oh, yes. You can easily go for bike rides as low as the mid-30s when it's sunny and no wind. You can go out for a comfortable bike ride. And I heard an earlier phone caller talk about horseback riding. Up in Holmes County, there is a bicycle trail path, a rails-to-trails path called the Holmes County Trail. It starts in Millersburg and goes north to Fredericksburg and back. The trail is double the width of a normal bike trail. The left side is for bike riders. The right side is where you see the Amish on their horse and buggies.
Oh, that's great.
And that trail is also open for public to come in with their horses and ride horses on the trail there.
Okay.
What I commonly do is I'll go up there and I'll ride that trail twice, putting 40 miles on the bike, and then go enjoy Amish food in a warm environment in wintertime.
That sounds awesome.
That sounds like a great plan, Randy. Thanks for that call. And John, have you been on that trail?
I have not been on that trail, although I've heard excellent things about it. You know, one of the things that's really impressive about the Rails to Trails system is just how accessible it is and how widespread through the state. And the Holmes County one is very good. The Little Miami is very good. The TJ Evans out in Licking County is very good. You know, these are definitely places to learn how to ride, you know, beyond your, you know, the local corner store or something. You know, this is, they're great, they're paved, they're very well marked usually, and they're usually mapped at the Rails to Trails Head website.
Great. And we have just a few more minutes left, so get your call in really quick, 614-292-8513. And Siobhan in Columbus, what's your comment?
Hi there. Well, I grew up in Dayton, and I know one of my family's favorite things to do and my mom's favorite thing with her grandkids was to take us all to Yellow Springs to see the lights up.
I'm sorry, you broke up a little bit. To Yellow Springs to see what?
Clifton Mill.
Yes.
They light up everything with the thousands and thousands of lights, and it goes over the mill and over the waterfall, and they have a miniature train display and everything. So it's always something really fun to do.
Thank you very much for that suggestion. And we did talk about Yellow Springs earlier. Yellow Springs always seems to come up in these conversations.
It's a beautiful place and lots to do, so.
And Steve, give us another recommendation of something you would do this winter. It can be indoor or outdoor.
I'm going to go back to the museums. I'm kind of a museum guy. We have some great fine art museums in Ohio. I love making a trip up to the Toledo Museum of Art. They have an extraordinary collection and just a wonderful collection of glass, which of course they would, being Toledo. They had the glass pavilion where you can go see the collection and also see glass blowers at work, glass artists. And again, this time of year when the weather starts to turn bad is a great time to take advantage of some of those sites. The Cincinnati Museum Center in the old Union Terminal, a beautiful Art Deco building, is another great place for an indoor destination this time of year. Several museums located inside, and the building itself is a work of art.
Great. And one other thing I had on my list that I wanted to talk about, I don't have a date on this, but Gene, you some state parks offer help, and I think the Metro Parks might do this too, with tracking Ohio's wildlife, because once there's snow on the ground, you can see footprints. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with that. I'm not sure who offers programs like that. Mm-hmm. I'll bet the Metro Parks definitely do offer
maybe that's where I saw it.
Like, that could be maybe in their park scope brochure. But yeah, that's a really fun thing to do. Just like the birds, if you're going to see wildlife, winter's a particularly good time to do it. And if you don't see the actual animal, you can have an awful lot of fun guessing what it might be looking at its tracks.
You ever gone tracking, John?
I have not. I've done a little amateur tracking, I guess, like basically stopping on a trail and staring at a footprint for about 10 minutes. I guess that would count. But like Gene mentioned, I think the Columbus Metro Parks have some upcoming programs and should throughout the winter. Check their really handy searchable program guide at reservations.metroparks.net.
Okay. And we had talked already about the annual winter hike at Hocking Hills. There's another annual winter hike. It's gone on for 32 years, the Buckeye Trail winter hike at Finley State Park. That's in February. Can you tell us a little bit about that, Jean?
Sure, yeah. That's up in Northeast Ohio. And yeah, I think it surprises people to hear that that hike is pretty doggone old, too. And
well, Hocking Hills is 47 years old, and this one's 32.
Yes, it's the oldest event in the state park system. yeah, and there are a number of other parks, actually. Mohican, also in Northeast Ohio, has an annual winter hike. Cedar Creek has a winter hike. So information about all those things are on the state park's website. And, you know, they're guided hikes. They have hot drinks, maybe cornbread and some bean soup. So it's a lot of fun to do. It makes you feel good. One new thing that we're doing this year is called a first day hike as part of a national series of hikes on New Year's Day at Shawnee State Park. So if you're so inclined, that's a bit of a drive. But if you would want to stay down in that area, it's definitely worth going. It's very pretty. And there's naturalist led hike on January 1st.
Maybe they're not sold out for New Year's. We'll see. I don't know.
They may not be.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have less than 3 minutes left, so maybe less than 30 seconds each. Somewhere to travel, maybe this weekend or during the next week. You know, people may have some days off between Christmas and New Year's, and they may want to take a day trip somewhere. So, Steve?
I recommend this time of year also Ohio's great little bed and breakfasts. There are a lot out there. It's a great time to you know, to snuggle up and find a romantic getaway. A lot of them have fireplaces, places like the Inn at Cedar Falls in Hocking Hills. Pines of Dresden over in Dresden is another great romantic bed and breakfast getaway, which is nice this time of year.
Okay. And John Ross?
Something that I really think is a cool idea is the snow days at Progressive Field, which is where the Cleveland Indians play. And basically, they turn the entire playing field into like a winter wonderland. There's snow tubing and ice skating. You can literally ice skate around the outfield. It's a little pricey. It's $27.50 for admission for all day, but that'll get you a lot of tubing and a lot of skating, and it's kind of cool. I know that it was always a blast for me to walk around the bases when I was in Little League, so I'd imagine that ice skating around them would be pretty cool as well.
All right, and Gene, where would you like to recommend?
Since we already talked about the lights, I guess I won't pretend that we're going to have snow this weekend necessarily, so how about some disc golf?
Oh, disc golf. Okay.
Okay.
A little chilly, but okay.
A little chilly. But, you know, people do that in the winter. You can still disc golf with gloves on. So how about maybe Delaware or Allen Creek?
Okay. Stay local while you're getting all your holiday stuff done. And
stay local.
Disc golf. All right. Well, thank you very much. This has been All Sides Weekend, our Ohio Travel Winter Edition. Thanks to Columbus Dispatch travel columnist Steve Stevens. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Amy.
Columbus Alive reporter and venture columnist John Ross. Thank you.
Thank you, Amy.
And also Ohio State Parks Public Information Section Manager Gene Bax. Thanks for being here, Gene.
Thanks, Amy.
Thanks to Corinne Gleckler for answering the phones today. And thank you to Sal Pishinary for directing us. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org. 89.7 NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.
Support for 89.7 comes from the Columbus Foundation, celebrating our nationally ranked businesses and nonprofit leaders, making our community stronger. With donors and funds in 33 Ohio counties, the Columbus Foundation, where your philanthropy and your community come together.